Welcome to E-commerce Explained, the podcast that'll help you to start, launch, and grow your own successful online store. My name is Warwick Hearns, and I'm South Africa's e-commerce expert. Back in 2010, I founded the award-winning online store Action Gear, and I grew that business from zero to doing over 20 million rand in annual revenue back in 2017, when I sold the business so that I could dedicate myself to helping South African online entrepreneurs just like you to avoid the pitfalls which I had to overcome so that you can achieve more success online faster. I'm really excited that you're listening to this, and I look forward to having you on this journey with me, where I'm going to show you how to get your online store started, grow your sales with the best digital marketing methods, and scale your business to bring about more and more success. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review with your thoughts. Let's get into this. All right. Welcome back, and thank you for joining me for yet another great episode here on E-commerce Explained. And this episode is an episode with a bit of a twist. And the reason for that is that I was recently interviewed by Biz Community as part of their celebration of E-commerce Day. The first time we've done E-commerce Day, and I like to think it was a great success. As part of our contribution to the E-commerce Day, Biz Community interviewed me for their website. And in this episode, we're going to replay the audio from that interview because it was really good. And I think you're going to love this episode. Because what we start off with is by going down a little bit of the history path about what led to the founding and the launching of the Insaka E-commerce Academy. It's an interesting story that I think you guys might enjoy learning more about. I'll also go into the ways that COVID-19 has caused different businesses to pivot their offerings and how they've changed to accommodate, well, how you can do business in this new normal. That leads into a great section about why smaller businesses and SMEs in particular can capitalize on the e-commerce boom. Really, what advantage do small startup businesses run by one-man shows or small teams, what advantage do they have over the big e-commerce players? There's a significant advantage, which I unpack and explain in this video. And I get a little bit heated. I get a bit excited because I really love talking about that topic. And to wrap things up, I share some great tips for launching and running your own online store. So that's what you've got lined up right here in this episode. So without any further delay, let's go ahead and roll that tape.
Welcome to this episode of Biz Takeouts, Biz Community Soundbite-sized news to go, and the second episode of our four-part e-commerce focus geared towards the launch of E-commerce Day on the 10th of March, 2021. I'm your host, Angie White, and I'm so happy to introduce today's guest. Warwick Kearns is the founder of Insaka E-commerce Academy, a leading e-commerce education platform and community. Today, he will be telling us a bit more about what led to the launch of Insaka, the ways COVID-19 has caused businesses to pivot their offerings, and more on the recently launched e-commerce playbook. Welcome, Warwick.
Thanks for having me, Angie.
Great. So, Warwick, tell me, you're the founder of Insaka E-commerce Academy, but you also obviously have some experience in online retail yourself. Can you tell us a bit about your background and what led to the launch of Insaka?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, Insaka really came about after almost a decade of turmoil and frustration and difficulties, because I started selling online, back in 2008. So it's 14 years ago now. It's getting longer. Sure. But back then, when I started out, there was very few people selling online in South Africa, even worldwide, I guess. And back then, I had to figure everything out on my own. If I wanted to figure out which payment gateway to use, I would have to try all the different options and see which ones were good and which ones let me down, and then say, okay, I'm going to go with these guys. And then when it came to choosing a courier, same thing. Use them all and see which one works and which ones worth sticking with. And all of these things that took a lot of trial and error and a lot of costs. It took me years to figure it out. And not only working with service providers, but just how to sell online, how to get your product in front of the right customers. These were challenges that I had to overcome myself, because there was nobody else that I could go to for guidance, training, mentorship, community, or anything like that. And it took me a few years, but eventually I got it right. After just 3 years, I hit my first 1 million rand month. And that kind of bolted my confidence, and I thought I was pretty invincible, but a few more mistakes and errors along the way almost saw me putting that business closing down, because I'd made some proper mistakes and my accountant was not very happy with me. And again, these are mistakes that I could have avoided if I just had a mentor or a coach or somebody to point me in the right direction. Luckily, the business didn't go under. I was able to recover it. And a few years later, we won some awards. There used to be an e-commerce awards every single year. And we won, my business, we won one of the top awards back then against the likes of Take Lot and Better Buy and all these good guys. And that award gave us a lot of press. And a lot of people started approaching me to say that they too were thinking about starting to sell online. And what could they do to have success, or which service providers could they use, or how do they, like, what do they need to avoid? And the thing was that I could help one or two people. You know, I don't mind a free lunch every now and again, but I was also very busy running my own business, which needed my attention. And I felt really guilty because I had the answers that would help all these people. And I was watching them, like, just making the same mistakes that I had made, but I was busy running my business. And so in 2017, I sold out of that business and I founded the Insaki E-commerce Academy with the sole intention of taking what I had learned, all the challenges that I had overcome and all the mistakes that I'd made and all the school fees that I had to pay, and trying to put them into a format which makes it available to other people. So now when people start up, then when they are looking for the right payment gateway to use, they can go to my community, which is 21,000 people, and just ask a question. And within minutes, they've got their answer. What took me months or years to get right, they can get in a few minutes. And when they want training and access to the very best training that is provided in Africa, then they can choose to fast track their learning curve and enroll into some of our premium programs at the Insaka E-commerce Academy. And now they have what I wish I had had when I was starting out: training, mentorship, community support, and just a structure of people who are on the same journey as they are, as I was. And instead of having to make all these mistakes and pay all these school fees, now they just have everything given to them in a nice structured format that can help them to fast track their learning curve, but more importantly, make less mistakes while achieving more success way, way faster.
It definitely seems like you are doing something amazing for the community. I'm sure there are a lot of industries that could use somebody like you and a company like you. But yeah, hopefully we'll see more of those popping up. And then, Warwick, tell me, COVID-19 has accelerated e-commerce growth. At the start of the pandemic in South Africa, we witnessed some companies pivoting their offerings to adapt to the circumstances, in some cases switching their product focus entirely. Which were the pivots that stood out to you the most as the most successful or interesting?
The most interesting one for me, and maybe we'll speak about this later, but certainly one that I started using myself. Years ago, I used to live in England, and back then it was, you know, normal for everybody to be shopping for their groceries online. Also there, you have to take the train and you're taking buses to carry big grocery bags. Nobody wants to do that. So you bought your groceries online and it got delivered to the front door. And that was super convenient. But this is more than a decade ago. I came back from England to South Africa and I tried to order online and I just got like fraught vegetables and it took forever to get here. And I was hungry, like the food didn't arrive. And so it wasn't working. And even though that I knew that I wanted to shop online for my groceries, it wasn't really an option that was viable. Then lockdown arrived and companies like Zulti and Checker 6060, which is also Zulti, they just really started just crashing it in terms of offering that in a way that was scalable, which is what was really interesting. And I loved reading about the success story and chatting to the founder, Donald Valoy. And what they were doing is they went to all the Uber drivers who during COVID they'd had nobody to drive. And Zulti and Checker 6060 were getting these the Uber drivers to deliver their groceries for them. And it was a really nice collaboration of industries, just like looking at opportunities, helping people to not become unemployed, because all of those Uber drivers were, they had no business. They had nobody to drive. And suddenly they had another way to make some money. And it was just like a wonderful case study of a company just pivoting and changing and seeing an opportunity and serving customers who didn't really want to go and stand in a queue at the grocery store with somebody coughing on your back. And it was just like the best of the best. I just loved watching that unfold and seeing how so many people, myself included, have continued to shop online for their groceries. And now, just like so many other things in e-commerce, this has become a norm. Things that were not really done before COVID, things that were not even thought of, like buying groceries online, now it's normal. So many people are doing it. And it's just a wonderful example of a company pivoting and seeing what customers want, and then also just customers embracing the way of the future, the way that it should actually work.
100% agree with you. And I don't foresee anybody going back to normal shopping anytime soon. So yeah, 100%, the best one that I can think of too. So we're considering the business that businesses have not yet made, some of businesses have not yet made their transition to online. What do you think could be holding many of them back from making this jump?
Yeah, so there's a few things. Like if there are business owners or entrepreneurs who are looking at e-commerce and seeing that this industry is booming, we all know that. It's not a question mark. It is happening. So they're seeing that, but then they're not transitioning into it. They're not pulling the trigger. They're not getting themselves past the starting line. And I think when you ask, like, what's the deal? Like, why are people not doing that? I think it's different for entrepreneurs and bigger businesses. And for bigger businesses, I feel like it's quite difficult to steer or to change the direction of a really big ship. And it just takes time, because moving into e-commerce for a really big corporation that's been working in traditional business for decades, like for them to embrace how they're going to do it and to execute that will take years for that to happen. And so I think any big corporate business that hasn't yet gone into e-commerce, I think that they will. I think that they have to. And I think that they are. It's just taking them a long time. Mm-hmm. So they'll get there. But then when I look at entrepreneurs and SMEs who are selling perhaps offline, maybe they have a brick and mortar store, or maybe they haven't got a business yet and they're not sure if e-commerce is there, I still see a lot of fear and a lot of uncertainty as to whether e-commerce really is an opportunity. Are the statistics that you're reading about online, are they true? Is there enough room in the market for new players? Because that's a lot that plays on people's minds. You know, like, I'm seeing all these people moving online, I'm reading all of these articles, it's probably already too competitive. And then we look at the bigger players, Takealot, Yuppie Chef, BidAllBuy. And the small startup entrepreneur like wants to go and sell online, but how would you possibly compete against that? And that fear is often what's holding them back and stopping them from starting, just getting in the game, just trying. And it's a really interesting paradox, really, because the paradox that exists is that smaller players have an advantage which the bigger players could never compete against. Even if they tried, even if they put all of their marketing budget into it, they could never, ever compete on one factor. And that factor is one of the most important things that I encourage my students to embrace when you're starting to sell online. And that factor is to focus in on product expertise. Product expertise delivered along with great customer support and service. And this is kind of like why when you're buying Biltong, maybe it's more convenient for you to pick it up at the counter at Checkers, but you might want to go down to the Biltong shop and ask the guy behind the counter, well, what flavors have you got? And tell me about this. And okay, great, I want to buy that. Because you feel like you're dealing with a real person. And you know for sure that you're dealing with somebody who knows their product. Or maybe you want to buy a bouquet of flowers. Super easy to pick it up at Woolies on the way out the door, but you also might want to go and support the local florist and have a chat to somebody who's a real person and tell them, well, these flowers, well, they're actually for a baby shower. I don't know, whatever. And they will like arrange it perfectly with the right flowers for the right occasion. And those people know their product and they give you a great experience while you're there. They're friendly. They chat to you. They give you a wonderful experience. And similarly, when we look at online, when people are looking to buy a product, let's say it's a nice digital camera. You could go and take lot and great, you can get a nice deal. And if you know what you want, you're great. But a lot of the time, we want to ask somebody which is the right product for me. Maybe I don't know which is the right camera for me. I know I want one of the big lens things, but which one? I don't know. Which do you have any deals on? Do I need a carry case? Do I need a memory card? Do I need a spare battery? Which carry case does this camera fit into? I don't know. So can somebody tell me? And imagine phoning Takealot call center and saying, hey, can you guys advise me on this? Like, there's no chance. They would never know. And they can't because they've got like 14 million products on their website. So that's okay. Like, we don't expect them to. But that's where the consumer will phone up an online seller who is a camera specialist and speak to the person on the other side of the phone who would be enthusiastic to help them, to answer them. They'll be asking questions about what are you going to photograph? Are you going bird watching? Are you going to the bush? Like, where are you going? Oh, this is exciting. And you know that you're dealing with a real person who knows their product and they can advise you on the right package and what's the right product for you. And that's where I go back to, like, small specialist online stores have an advantage that the big players could never compete against. And that is niching, focusing in on a product range, knowing that product range, and then giving the customers a wonderful product experience around that product and just offering great customer support. They will tell their friends will tell their friends, and you can build a solid business on that. And I know that for sure, because that's how I built my business from doing zero sales to over 20 million rand in revenue, just by knowing our products. I was the first person in Africa selling GoPro cameras, and that worked pretty well. And then later we had the import rights over DJI drones, and you know that worked really well too. And we just learned our products inside out. Customers knew that they could come to us for product expertise, for advice, for all the right accessories, so that they had the exact right product that they needed for them. And then they would go and tell their friends, and their friends would tell their friends, and we could build a solid business on that. And when we were the only people in Africa selling GoPros, the next shop to start selling GoPros was Sportsman's Warehouse. And when that happened, I kind of panicked, I'll be honest. I thought, geez, my business is over. Nobody's going to buy from me ever again. And it was really interesting. The next 3 months after Sportsman's Warehouse put their put GoPros on their shelves, my sales went through the roof because more customers were walking into Sportsman's and they're like, this looks cool. And then they would ask questions about it. And the guys at Sportsman's were like, yeah, like they could maybe answer a few questions, but they didn't have the detailed knowledge. People would go online, they would find us, they would ask us their questions, we would help them, and our revenue tripled because somebody else was selling the product, but they didn't have the expertise. The niching down is a key thing for a small online player. And so when anybody is fearful of starting with e-commerce, my advice is just to embrace that. Find a product that you either already know a lot about or something that you would be excited to learn a lot about, and then have that product expertise and give your customers a wonderful experience. And when you do that, you have an advantage that nobody else can compete against.
So that's really not what I expected to hear. I mean, it's amazing to hear that the smaller companies actually stand a really, really great chance online. I'm sure a lot of companies wouldn't expect to hear that. So that's some really great insight there.
Thanks. And of course, it can go wrong, but these are the tips that I share with my students and a lot more. But this is the right way to do it.
Awesome. Thanks so much for that. And then could you tell me, what do you think are the most common pitfalls encountered when launching an online store? And what are your top tips for entrepreneurs embarking on this journey? I'm sure you've mentioned a lot already, but maybe you have one or two more to share.
No problem. I've got a lot more to share. You know, a couple things here. One of the biggest downfalls or pitfalls or hurdles that people really need to get right when they're starting out is finding the right product to sell online. Not all products are made equally when it comes to e-commerce. Some products are much better suited to having a lot of success online. And a lot of products are easier to make money with online. And so finding the right product is really crucial, really key to actually just getting started, because you could go out and you could pay for a magical looking website, or you could design it yourself and it would look all pretty and you could have like the best looking website in the world. But if you don't have a product that customers are willing to buy, then you don't have a business. And so really, like, this is for me step number one. When anybody's looking at starting an e-commerce store, it's about the product first. People get really caught up in like trying to research search engine optimization and Facebook ads and Google ads and YouTube advertising. Is that a thing? Let me learn about that. And they go off on all these little rabbit holes, and that stuff does not count. That you can deal with later. First, you need to find a product. Second, you need to build a website. You need to get that website live. And then you can start trying to play around with getting traffic onto your website, finding the right customers, getting them to your site, converting traffic into buyers. And that's when you can start looking at digital marketing and all the sexy stuff. But really, people get caught up in honestly, just like an overwhelm, and they're overwhelming themselves. It's like, I don't know, like anything new that you are starting with, you got to start with the basics. You got to learn to crawl before you can walk. And you also got to know that you're going to fall down a couple times, and you got to get up. Hope everybody gets up, otherwise we'd all be crawling around like babies. But we have to understand that it's a process. It's not easy. That's another mistake people make, is to think that e-commerce is the easy business. No business is easy. I'm the first person to say that. If anybody's telling you that it is easy and you can make $1 million overnight, then do not listen to that person. It's a business. You need to put your heart and soul into the business, and you got to make it work. So really, one of the biggest things, find a product. Don't get overwhelmed by looking at everything that you need to learn right now, because you don't have to learn it all right now. You just start at the beginning and then follow step by step. And then secondly, Well, another thing that I see people getting caught out with, and one of the biggest hurdles to people actually getting started, is not starting at all, being caught in overwhelm, being caught in the research phase, in analysis paralysis, being caught in the fear of maybe this isn't going to work, maybe I can't do it, maybe this isn't for me. This is for young people, people who grew up with a cell phone in their hand, or this is for somebody older who's got more experience or more money or more time. And people have so many different excuses about why this can't work. And to be honest, it won't work for you if you don't try, if you don't just put something into it. Put in the time, put in the effort, build a website, get it live, get it out there, get traffic on the site. Know that you're not going to get sales on day one, because you need to get lots of traffic to get your first sale. And I also guide my students in particular ways that they can do that. But not starting at all is the biggest way to stop yourself from having any success at all. And that sounds funny, that sounds silly, sounds like it's too basic. But so many people hesitate to get started. And then they get started and they want their website to be perfect. And they don't turn on their website because it's not yet perfect. It's not yet done. But if you think about like all the best websites in the world, the Biz Community website, you guys are never finished with the website, right? Yeah. The guys at TakeLot, they never shut down their computer at the end of the day and say, oh, well, we're done. There's no more improvements or changes to make to this website. We are done. That just doesn't happen.
Exactly.
A website is always a work in progress. There is always another banner you need to change. There is always another product you want to get. There is always another promotion you want to run. There's always another image that you want to add to that product page, or tweak on the description. And people get, I see it so often, like they get caught up in waiting for perfection rather than just turning on the site. And that's the best way to go nowhere, because you can't get any traffic on your site and you certainly can't get any sales if your website is not live on the internet. So you've got to put yourself out there. You've got to take a leap of faith and just trust that it's going to work out. But if you don't start, you are guaranteeing yourself that there's no success.
100%. And I think it doesn't sound too simple. I think, like you say, people get caught up in all the details, and simplicity is definitely the way to go, like you say. Tell me, Warwick, in terms of offering a superior online customer experience, which companies do you think are leading the pack in South Africa, and why do you think so?
Sure. Well, the brands are the big ones. One of my favorite online brands to deal with is Yuppie Chef. I think that they just like, they've had such a good culture of customer service from the beginning, from the time where the founders would write little handwritten notes with every single parcel. Mm. Like I remember ordering from them years ago and getting a note handwritten. I'm not sure if they still do that, but that culture has been really bled into the rest of the company. And I mean, people might hate me for saying this, but I think TakeLot is really crushing it in terms of everything that they're doing. And another one I love to support and to watch and to see how they're growing is One Day Only. And these companies, like to what I said about earlier, a lot of small SME entrepreneurs, side hustle type people will look at these bigger businesses and they say, well, how would I ever be able to compete against that? Maybe somebody wants to start a kitchenware product, but how would you possibly compete against Yuppie Chef? Because they're really good at what they do. They really are. But the other thing to realize here is that e-commerce is growing. The number of customers shopping online is growing every single month. So there are more and more customers. There is more and more money being spent online. And the wonderful thing about these bigger established brands online is that they are doing the entire industry a favor. And that favor is that they are helping the first-time customers to get into the game. Mm-hmm. You know, the grandmother who's never shopped online, her first online purchase is probably going to be with Yuppie Chef. Let's just be honest. And her second one might be with TakeLot, or maybe still with Yuppie Chef. Or maybe the student who has never shopped online, their first purchase might be with TakeLot. Mm-hmm. Second one, third one, fourth one as well. But as soon as people get into the rhythm and the trust of shopping online, then they are far more likely to actually start browsing the internet and start looking at other websites, looking for deals, looking for somebody with better product expertise. And that's when that customer is now going to kind of start spreading their money and start buying from everybody else. So again, like there's particular companies who are leading the game and doing a wonderful job at it, and to compete against them is hard. But we must also see that they're doing us a lot of favors. Like they are really, really helping us to just bring more customers into the market. And every customer who shops for the first time on TakeLot today, well, that's a customer who's going to shop on a different website in a few months' time. And that's going to keep growing the pie. And it's just raising up the ocean, it's a raising tide that lifts all ships. And those big players are actually driving that force and bringing more customers into the market. So we've got to really be grateful to them.
Love that analogy. And I definitely, I mean, from experience, definitely can see how that is like the gateway, the bigger players definitely making way for the smaller ones.
Totally. Yeah.
And then, Warwick, we've witnessed grocery delivery, which we've spoke about briefly before, become more commonplace over the last year. Which other retail product categories do you think are prime for significant growth going forward?
I think clothing is something that a lot of customers are now starting to embrace. And I see you nodding, so maybe you've started to shop online and see how that works.
Quite a while, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a very obvious objection to people buying their clothes online. Like, is this going to fit me? You know, is this going to work? And then the other thing that comes up is to say, well, what if it doesn't fit me? Now it's a mission. Like, do I have to pay for returning it? Do I need to take it to the store? Like, you know, there's all these different things that come up. But in truth, like, the retailers who are selling clothing online, they know that they have to offer free returns because that's how clothing sales online works. And they're also going to make it ultra convenient for you to do so because they want you to know that you can return something on very easily. So you just book it in, they'll collect it, they'll send the other sizes. And a lot of the time what I do, maybe I shouldn't say this publicly, but I'll order different sizes. So if I'm not sure if the shorts are going to fit me in this size, I'll order like two sizes. Another and then answer. The one that doesn't fit, I'll return it. and you can totally do that. Just get a refund or a credit. And this is something that I'm seeing a lot of people kind of going into, buying your shoes online. And especially as a lot of us have favorite retailers. So this is an old khaki shirt. I know which size I like. So I can go on the website and I can buy the same size in all those different shirts from the same brand. And people are becoming more affair and more comfortable with buying clothes online. I'm seeing a lot of SMEs having a lot of success with children's clothing. And maybe that's a bit easier when it comes to sizes because your kid's changing shape all the time. So if it's too big now, they'll fit it next month. But kids' clothing is like a really, really big one. But clothing in general, I think is the industry that will be seeing a lot of success, a lot of growth over the next 12 to 18 months.
Oh, well, like I said, I'm definitely one of those that sort of tapped into that trend. So yeah, I agree.
Awesome.
And then, Warwick, last year InSoccer released an e-commerce playbook that lists the software and service providers that local e-commerce companies prefer. What were the most interesting insights that came out of the exercise, and did any of the results surprise you?
Yeah, so that was something that I really had a lot of fun with because, you know, in the beginning of this chat, I said that I wanted to try and create all the tools or give all the tools that I wish I had when I was starting out. And a lot of the time I find myself kind of standing on a soapbox, like telling people, like shouting, like, use this payment gateway and use these couriers and these are who you should be partnering with. And I trust that people see that I'm an objective kind of observer of the market. And, but I also wanted to create and also curate like a recommendation based on everybody, not just what Warwick says. And so what I did is, I don't know, like October last year, sometime around there, we put out a series of polls. I think it was like 32 different questions. And we put those polls into my free Facebook group, the InSoccer e-commerce community. That group has got 21,000 people in it. Everybody's selling online, all South Africans. It's like one of the most helpful groups if anybody's looking to learn about e-commerce. And we asked there 32 different polls, like vote for this, vote for that, vote for this. And all the online sellers were voting. And we then gathered all the results and we posted it as a freebie on the InSoccer website. So it's insoccer.co.za/playbook. It's totally free. You don't even have to opt in. It's just free. Just go and you can get it. And on that, like, it just answers the question because, like, a lot of the time we see a lot of the same questions coming up. Mm. Who should I use for hosting? And that's a very popular, it's a common question. And like, I can give my objective answer, but why not just go and check the playbook? Because we had 21,000 people vote for it last year. Or which courier should I use? That's a popular question too. Okay. And we've already voted on that. Or which bank should I use for my e-commerce business? Or I don't know, which theme should I use for WordPress? Or which app should I use for Shopify? Or should I use Shopify or WordPress at all? Should I use Wix? All of those things came out in the polls and there's 32 different questions and it's all free on the website. And in terms of the ones that surprised me, certainly where I learned a few things was in terms of some of the service providers that I wasn't aware of that were getting a lot of votes. That was really interesting to see. But to be honest, there wasn't anything that really stood out to me as being the most surprising because a lot of the services, which I also recommend myself, were the ones that came out on top in terms of who's the best hosting company, who's the best delivery company, who's the best website platform to work with. All of those were the same, like it's the same stuff that we've been talking about. But now to have it in a curated format where it's not just me saying it, it's now like 21,000 people voting for it. And so I think that that resource for anybody who's starting out to just go there to playbook, Insarco.co.za/playbook, you can get it. And that's like, it's kind of like the, it's like a Bible, like a, it's the playbook for getting started because all the questions that you have been answered in the most objective way. Like I can't think of a more objective and honest answer than getting a whole community to vote for it and then giving that information for free. So it's a really helpful resource for anybody starting out.
100%. And I'm sure it must have been nice to get that sort of reinforcement of what you knew to be true already, so that you also know that you're giving the best advice possible.
Yeah, that's true. Totally.
And Warwick, do you feel that the e-commerce landscape in South Africa is a level playing field for both small and large businesses? You've answered this already, actually. How do you think smaller businesses can capitalize on the recent e-commerce boom that we've witnessed? And if you have any further tips in this regard?
So I think we've touched on this a little bit, but so I suppose just something I can add into this topic would just be to know that the market is growing, to know that there are more customers available. So if you feel that your business is stagnant or that you aren't getting new customers, just know that there are lots more new customers coming into the market. So this industry is growing, and it's a wonderful industry to be in because in the past 12 months, there hasn't been too many industries that have actually grown. You know, I can list them on one hand in terms of the industries that have seen significant growth in the past 12 months. I mean, healthcare, no brainer. Things like virtual meetings, this has also taken off. Robotics has taken off. Online learning has taken off and e-commerce. But when you look at all of those industries that are actually booming now during this tough time, like how would a small entrepreneur ever think about getting into healthcare or robotics or starting an online meeting platform? Those ones are really difficult to get into. But e-commerce is something that you can start in your spare time from the comfort of your home. If you have a laptop and an internet connection, you really can. And so this is like, it's an opportunity of a lifetime. Like maybe it doesn't sound very objective me saying that, but I truly believe that because you can just get started into this industry that's booming and you can get your slice of the pie. And yes, your slice might be minuscule for now, but it could grow into something bigger. And even if it doesn't, the industry is growing. So maybe your slice will grow just because the industry is growing.
100%. I think that's probably the point that we just needed to get that. I mean, the industry is booming and it is the opportunity of a lifetime. I mean, when would entrepreneurs have this kind of opportunity? It's really definitely the time to jump into this ship.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Then lastly, Warwick, as we emerge from the pandemic, what do you feel is needed to strengthen the e-commerce ecosystem in South Africa and push it to the next stage of consumer adoption?
Cool. A couple things. And I might be on a soapbox for this one. But for e-commerce to really become a household accepted practice, which it is really moving towards and it will get there. But to accelerate that, there's a few things that need to happen. First up, payments need to become, for me to say payments need to be safer is a big statement because payments are already pretty safe. But at the same time, consumers need to understand that payments online are safe. Mm. Shopping online with your credit card is probably one of the most secure ways you can shop because if there's a fraudulent transaction, your bank will refund your credit card like almost no questions asked. Deliveries is a really big one, both from the headache of anybody who's selling online. You know, the delivery factor is just the most crucial part of your business. And when I spoke about customer service earlier, like your customer service is really made or broken by your career partner that you choose to work with because you could do everything right. You could do your product expertise. You could offer great customer service. You could package it up nicely. You give it across to the courier and then you stand back and you say, geez, I hope these guys deliver it. And most of the time they do, sometimes they don't. And I would just love to see the industry, the courier delivery industry, just improve. And they have made improvements in leaps and bounds over the past year. And geez, the way that they handled Black Friday, the way that they handled COVID, where the week after e-commerce was allowed to happen again. You remember back last year when e-commerce wasn't allowed, and then we campaigned and then they allowed e-commerce to happen. And for the next week, every single day of trading for the next 7 days was bigger than the previous Black Friday's trading days.
Wow.
And the couriers were there. They actually handled it really well. So kudos to them. They've done a really good job and they've improved a lot in the past 12, 18 months. But there's still a lot of improvement to be had. Best case scenario, and people may think I'm mad, but if the South African Postal Service could pull up their socks, that would be the best possible scenario, because then we could be delivering at a much cheaper cost, which makes it more affordable to customers. We could even drop our prices a little bit and it would just work. So if anybody from the South African Post Office is listening, that would be great. That would be one of my requests. And then like my third and last point here, before I get off my soapbox, would be just for every online seller to understand their responsibility and how they play into the future growth of e-commerce. Because when you give a customer a bad experience, that customer is going to hesitate to shop online from somebody else. When you give a customer a good experience, they are going to be shopping online more and more. And you are then serving the industry by helping them out. So each and every e-commerce entrepreneur who is in online selling has a duty to keep offering customers a wonderful, uplifting experience, which is going to keep them coming back again and again. They have to have that trust that when they shop online, the parcel is going to arrive. It's going to arrive in a good time. It's going to look good when it arrives. And if they don't like it, they can return it without hassle. If any of those things don't work, the customer is going to be less likely to shop online in the future. So it comes down to every single one of us doing our job and offering just great customer service all the time. And when we do that collectively, then e-commerce is going to thrive. And it will come, but it can come quicker if we all just come together and do our part to make that happen faster.
That is such a great message to end this show off with. I couldn't agree more. I mean, we're already all in this together through this pandemic, but e-commerce definitely throughout this interview, I think I've gained a better understanding of how e-commerce in itself, like all the players are really, really in it together. So thank you very much for that insight, Warwick. That's a wrap on today's show. With a reminder to keep an eye out for more e-commerce related news with the launch of E-commerce Day on the 10th of March, 2021. It's Biz Takeouts. Take it where you like it, when you like it. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I'm excited to have you along on this journey with me, and I wish you all the best with implementing this information in your own online store. If you'd like to access my free range of e-commerce strategies, tools, and mini courses that have helped thousands of South African entrepreneurs just like you, then be sure to visit insaka.co.za/free. I'm looking forward to chatting to you in the next episode. Till then, take care.